The scariest thing in the world would be if they gave Sinbad another TV show.
Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to Screen Geeks Radio, episode 68. We're getting close to that triple digit.
Well, that magical number, which is next.
Okay. 69, dude!
Right. Yeah, that's right. How did I miss that? Dang it. Oh, anyway, this is Dave.
I could hear crickets during that.
I was like, oh, I'm missing something.
And I feel terrible that I'm the one who asked, like, Dave, don't you get it? It's the number after 68.
I know.
That I'm the guy to say that.
I know. Hey, you know, I should have gotten a special grab for episode 37, so that's beside the point, though. All right, this is Dave.
This is Barry.
And Josh.
And this is Ethan.
Yay! The gang's back together. We got the band back together.
Yes.
How was your trip to Maui, sir?
It was excellent, thank you. Yeah, got to visit our friends over at Wild 105.5, Hawaii's party station. It was fun.
Cool.
Yeah, good to hang with Greg and the gang. It was awesome.
Right on.
Yeah.
All right, well, let's talk about what we watched this week. I guess I'll start it off because there's been such diametrically opposed opinions. Is that pretty fair to say? Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, I decided to undertake watching Repo: The Genetic Opera.
Ugh.
Yeah. I'll be honest. I wasn't a fan, but I nailed down exactly why. I'm not a big fan of like super musical melodrama. So I just couldn't get into the movie at all.
So you're in the Ben Lyons camp with it?
Oh, that's not fair. It's like the only review Ben Lyons ever gave that was dead on, right on, bullseye.
Well, that and Day the Earth Stood Still remake.
Oh, he didn't like that either?
No.
Oh, good man. Good job. Good job, Ben.
Well, I am sure that plenty of us love women but hated the women, but you know.
I completely agree.
Are you going to see it, Ethan? Repo?
I actually tried to download it, but the torrent wasn't even downloading at all, so I just said, eh, whatever. Maybe this is a sign.
That your computer was rejecting it?
Yeah.
All right. Fair enough. And then I know both Barry and I saw Around.
Yes.
Yeah,
let's talk about that.
A little bit, because I want to get more into depth on this next week, because okay. I think both Ethan and Joshua have seen it by then, too.
Great.
And then we're actually going to get David on for an interview, too.
Excellent.
Which shall be cool. But, yeah, first-time filmmaker out of New York, David Spaltrow. I don't even know how to describe this. It's just kind of like a life movie.
I think it almost sums itself up in the sense that it's about this guy's year, if it's autobiographical, which I think we're supposed to believe
to an extent it is.
To an extent. Okay, well, about a young guy who goes to New York film school. He can't really afford it entirely, so at some point he ends up living essentially homeless in New York while trying to complete his film school program and having an awkward romance and basically really having a very tough life.
Yeah. Oh, goodness. Yeah, I'll keep this brief just because I want to go more into depth on it next week. But I like the fact that, yes, it was very much a downer in a way. You know, just life's rough sometimes. But I liked the fact that they really didn't ask you to, like, really pity the main character. And it was just kind of him, you know, well, you got to do what you got to do. And just kind of going on with life from there. And yeah, he does get a little bit bitter, but the whole movie's worth it for the Pulp Fiction line, if nothing else.
Yes, definitely. It's a very well-made movie. For a first film, it's a very, very polished filmmaking. I was very impressed. It looks like a well-budgeted film. I think the only giveaway that it's a low-budget indie is that it's such an underpopulated movie. Like, there are times, yeah. Like, aren't there more people at this party? Aren't there more people in New York City Street? No, I mean, clearly, they did what they had to do. And that's the only telltale sign. Otherwise, I mean, a very, really well-made film.
Yeah, and actually, he hasn't done any kind of film school at all.
Wow.
So that aspect was completely made
that
up.
That is very impressive.
Yeah. Yeah, but it's just a pretty darn good movie in general. We'll talk more in depth about it next week. Oh, and I watched The Last Emperor.
Oh, the Bertolucci film?
Yeah.
You didn't like it? Why not?
What the hell are you guys talking about?
The Last Emperor.
It won the Best Picture Oscar in 1987.
It was the Slumdog Millionaire of its generation.
Oh.
Damn, that movie was long.
Yeah.
Three and a half hours that could have been cut down by an hour or
it's
so.
It's the life of Pu Yi, the last emperor. It's his whole life, from when he's a kid to when he's John Lone.
And he's a whiny little girl through the whole movie.
Well, how would you be if all of a sudden, you know, it's like you're 3 years old, congratulations, you run the country?
Theoretically. I just have.
You think it was a beautiful film?
It was shot very beautifully until he left the city, and then I kind of quit caring.
I agree. That first half is magnificent. Yeah. When he leaves the city, I totally agree. The movie completely loses your focus.
What killed it for me. Yeah. I mean, there was no reason for me to actually like feel bad for this character at all whatsoever.
Oh yeah, well, how
it's kind of like seeing Nellie Olson get the crap kicked out of her in Little House on the Prairie. You're actually rooting for it to happen.
Well, everybody rooted for that to happen. So.
Yeah, so yeah, I didn't feel for the character at all.
Didn't like Peter O'Toole's performance?
Peter O'Toole was great, but he kind of sucked as a teacher. If he didn't really prepare this guy for real life at all.
Well, yeah.
So you know, I've come to the realization also, not a big fan of the epic movie. I love Lawrence of Arabia. It's an amazing film. Saw it once, never need to see it again.
Oh, you don't like the Friedberg Seltzer movie? You're saying?
Oh, well, that's an entirely... Oh, curse you.
I hate that we even mentioned those last guys, but then, like, it's Spielberg, Hitchcock, Friedberg, and whatever his name is.
Yeah, well, yeah, you know. But, I mean, even like Lord of the Rings, great movies. I can only watch them like... I watched them the last time was about 5 years
ago. You don't like Braveheart or Ben-Hur?
Like them? Do I need to see them again anytime soon? No. I don't know what it is.
You're more of the intimate film. You're more like once is more your speed, you're saying? Like absolutely. Those intimate characters.
Well, to an extent, I like to have a little more story than that. But, you know, it's just when it's, you know, 3+ hours, I don't know, something kind of switches off after a while. Hmm. Like even through the Lord of the Rings extended cuts. Great movies, but by the end of them...
It's extended cuts.
Well, but I mean, even in Ben-Hur, even in Lawrence of Arabia, looking at the great films, I just kind of got tired by the end of the movie, in general.
Bringing this up, but next week there's going to be a movie, you know.
Yeah.
It's pretty epic. Long.
Yeah.
Well, you know what I'm going to go see this week? It's in Denver. Shay, the uncut version, is playing. You know, the Steven Soderbergh film about Shay Guevara.
Yeah, I really want to see that.
It's like 5 hours long. Yeah, it's playing at the Mayan right now.
You're going to go to
Hell's yeah. It's only playing at 1 o'clock and 7 o'clock. I'm going to go next week. Because you could either see it all in one sitting, or this like it's going to be released as two different separate movies, and I just want to see it. So
no, I'll just get it all.
But it's 5 hours with subtitles, so if I like lose my mind and I only speak Spanish, when you see me next week, you'll know why. So
yeah, and like I said, this happens with movies I love. I mean, take Kill Bill 1 and 2. I love Kill Bill, but watching them back to back, kind of love. Even though I want to see the whole
Bloody
Affair.
It's so good though.
Oh, I know.
Have you watched them both back to back?
Yeah, and I want to see the whole Bloody Affair, but
yeah.
I also know I'm probably going to be tired by the end of the movie.
Sure.
But it's like you said, getting back to The Last Emperor, when he leaves the Forbidden City, falls off like
a rock. Well, the movie loses its grip, because the Forbidden City stuff is so dazzling. And then the rest of it is like, poor Puyi, used to be the rule of everything, now he's the rule of nothing, poor guy.
This kind of went the Titanic route, in that it got away with the PG-13 and the nudity because of the length, right?
Yeah, there's a lot of nudity and sex in that movie.
You see the same boob like 5 times.
But it's Joan Chen's boob.
Isn't it the whole thing, you can get away with PG-13 because it's tasteful?
Not necessarily. I mean, it's not gratuitous, but it doesn't necessarily need to be there either.
Yeah. No, it's pretty erotic. You know, it's Bertolucci. He's always pushing the envelope. I mean...
Yeah, it wasn't erotic at all.
Well, except depends on how you look at it.
That's true. When you have an 8-year-old still breastfeeding, that's just kind of disturbing.
Well, I wasn't...
Whatever melts your butter, Dave.
Talking about John Lone in bed with Joan Chen and the other girl. I'm not talking about when he was a little boy breastfeeding.
That's what I was talking about. You see the same boob 5 times. I'm like,
Mama.
What did you see this week, Josh? Let's move on from Last Emperor. It's our special Last Emperor episode.
I saw Sin City again, and I really did not like it at all.
Really?
Yeah, I like used to be super obsessed with it and loved it, and I just did not like it.
I can't watch the whole thing. I can only watch separate stories.
Yeah.
I'm so thankful the DVD is that way, or I just like hate it probably.
Yeah, because I have the director's cut where you can watch each one of the stories, and they're like an hour long each. And so I do that if I want to revisit it, but I've never sat down and watched the whole thing again. And it's long and violent, and just like you feel dirty after you watched it. At least I did. I don't know, but Mickey Rourke is so awesome in it.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Did you like The Grifters?
Oh yeah. That was okay.
Yeah.
Have you seen that, Dave?
No.
Do you know what it is? Vaguely. With John Cusack and...
Annette Bening's boobs, right?
Yeah. No, there's no boobs in it.
Oh, yeah. Were you asleep?
Oh, no, yeah, there were... Okay, sorry. No, I stayed awake for the whole thing. Yeah, there was a lot of boobs in it, sorry. I don't know, I just didn't really find get into it that much. I like con movies, though.
Yeah.
I like Matchstick Men better.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
But it was okay. You could tell it was 90s. Total 90s movie.
Very 90s film.
But And that was actually like the first role I really liked of John Cusack's.
Really?
Usually find him annoying.
You don't like him in 1408?
No, I didn't like that movie.
Hmm. Or Gross Point Blank? Okay.
You don't like Say Anything?
I don't like Say
Anything. I've actually never seen that.
Oh, it's but, great. It's great.
Well, it sounded like you were kind of talking down on it in class the other day.
No,
you're like, it's not like that Say Anything crap.
I meant that this The Grifters was the movie that basically got John Cusack more dramatic roles because he was stuck playing Lloyd Dobler forever after Say Anything.
Yeah.
That was his career. He was like stuck in the Kirk Cameron parts, but after The Grifters, he got grittier roles and he got like, you know, edgier films and yeah. So if it weren't for The Grifters, he would still be like, he would be doing crap like Must Love Dogs for eternity. So.
As opposed to doing it so he can get paid and then do the little stuff later.
Yeah,
you know, like War Inc.
Sorry. Exactly, yeah. You know. Well, War Inc. was a mistake.
But. The biggest thing about the movie I didn't like, though, was like for the first hour, nothing happened.
It's all set up. It was just slow. Nothing happened.
It was just like,
she
I kept looking at Marshall.
With a cigar. You had like the set. He got punched in the gut. He was in the hospital. A lot of stuff happened. It was just slow.
I kept looking at Marshall. I'm like, is this going?
Oh, because you sat next to Marshall, that's why.
Wait, so.
Marshall's like, it's
Marshall?
Not Buffy the Vampire Slayer. I don't like it. Who's Marshall?
Just this kid in my class who really likes Buffy.
Marshall is an excellent student, but his love for Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Me, then. We both like Buffy.
His love for Buffy is a little overwhelming at times.
It's insane.
Okay, then.
I think that's it.
I saw Gran Torino with Greg on Maui, and very overrated.
God, funniest movie ever. I never got to talk about it on the podcast, but honestly... Pineapple Express, Tropic Thunder have nothing on that movie. It was the hardest I laughed at any movie from 2008.
It was so broad. Like I don't even mind him saying, don't get off my lawn. I mean, the whole thing about him going, like throughout the movie. I mean, they literally gird at times. It was like grumpy old men. But it would switch from being like broad comedy to like really gritty gang warfare. And yeah, some great stuff, but very awkward film. I don't know why it's as popular as it is.
What was he like? I would have gotten away with it if it wasn't for you damn kids.
No, but it is so broad at times. Like I appreciate the filmmaking and the performances for the most part are pretty good, but it's just like it's so heavy-handed. It feels like an after-school special at times. I mean, it really
well, did
does.
You like him singing over the end credits?
Oh, that was a little much.
Yeah. Are you serious? I have to see this.
Yeah, it was like a spoof of Tom Waits almost.
Yeah, and he actually got a Golden Globe nomination for singing the theme song from Gran Torino.
Well, I wanted him to get nominated for an Oscar so he would have performed.
Except he wouldn't have, so...
He would have had Tom Waits do it. Yeah, that was... Yeah, kind of a disappointing film. But you know what I did like, though, and I finally got to see? You guys ever hear of Johnny Handsome?
No.
This is starring Mickey Rourke that came out about 20 years ago. It's Mickey Rourke, Forrest Whitaker, Morgan Freeman, Lance Henriksen, who else? Ellen Barkin. Really interesting movie. It's about this guy who's disfigured and ungainly. He's a criminal. And he is wounded in a gang fight. He's shot. They give him reconstructive surgery, and he basically goes back into the gang life. And it's the question of, you know, is he going to rat out his friends, or is he going to, you know, be going to play hardball for the cops? It's good. And it's interesting because, you know, this is Mickey Rourke back when he was a really good-looking guy. But he starts off the movie looking like he does now. So, you know, he's called Johnny Handsome sarcastically. And he looks like he does in The Wrestler, but then he gets shot and gets reconstructive surgery, and he looks like Mickey Rourke from 1982. So it's just interesting to see that, like, the flip side of Mickey Rourke, you know. The film itself is very good. It's a pulpy, hard-edged, like a B-movie action thriller. It's really good.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's Walter Hill, who did, The Warriors and 48 Hours. Yeah. Yeah, you might like Johnny Handsome. It's edgy, gritty
the
stuff.
The Warriors.
Do you dig it? Or wait, was it Can You Dig
Can
It?
Can You Dig It?
Yeah.
Warriors!
All right.
Yeah.
Fair enough. All right. Is that it for you, sir? All right, Ethan, what about you?
Yeah, I watched a bunch of stuff. I watched Role Models.
Oh, what'd you think?
Oh, yeah, what was that?
You know, I thought for like the first two-thirds it was just kind of okay, but once it hits, there's this joke in the third act involving Kiss. It just has the band Kiss, obviously. That has this beautiful, beautiful payoff. That was just so brilliant that it just made me love the movie. It was so brilliant. So, yeah, I recommend it.
Fair enough.
Nice.
Anything else, sir?
Yeah, I watched The Hurt Locker, which I wrote a review for on the site.
Yeah, thank you for that. I've been dying to see that. I'm glad it got a good word of mouth. I love Catherine Bigelow.
You can see it.
Oh, can I now?
Using special antennas, yes.
Ooh, okay.
We'll talk.
Which was good. Also watched Secret Honor.
What'd you think of that?
You know, I've seen like three movies about Richard Nixon now, and you know, I think I can safely say that the man was neurotic. But yeah, I wasn't that impressed with it, because really it is a one-man show, so it's not really showing off Altman's abilities really that well. But definitely Philip Baker Hall, who's, you know, I love that guy in PTA's films, is great here, and you know, he did definitely a great performance. So yeah, it's definitely worth watching. Also, the last thing I watched was Kuya na Skazi.
Oh wow, what'd you think of that one?
I dislike hyperbole, so I'm not going to say what I thought. But I'll just say, if you haven't seen it, just, you know, get it, turn off all the lights, turn up the sound, and just watch it. It's something else.
Yeah, it's quite the journey. You know, you got to have a love for Philip Glass music, but man alive, the imagery is so gorgeous.
I can't take him seriously after South Park, what South Park did to him.
Well, you know, he's scoring a lot of the scenes from, well, not scoring, they're using his music for Watchmen.
Yeah.
Okay. Really, you don't like Philip Glass?
Well, South Park did a joke on him. I can't take him seriously now.
I have not seen that episode.
So you don't like Phil Collins anymore either, Joe?
No, I hate Phil Collins now.
The Grammy showed up. Never mind.
Oh, and they made him talk like, I should have won that Grammy.
So now you have to explain what the Philip Glass joke is.
I can't remember it. Okay. So, sorry for bringing it up, but I just know that they ruined him.
Okay.
And he never worked again.
All right, well, let's talk about what hit in theaters this week. And welcome back to being our movie voice. I hated doing that.
Hey, you're much thank better you. At it. Oh, by the way, before I continue, I got to mention, we missed a very important birthday while I was gone. On February 17th, The Burbs turned 20 years old. Yay! Yes, The Burbs.
But we also missed someone else's birthday, too.
Yeah.
And there'd be a certain Professor Wurst.
Nah, no, I'm talking about Joe Dante's movie.
I think I, Barry, on your Facebook, I think I gave a very good birthday wish.
You did. Thank you. I greatly appreciate that. I appreciate all the Facebook well-wishing.
Cool.
I'm falling into the 21st
century
Facebook.
So The Burbs. Facebook. Okay.
The Burbs. The Burbs is 20 years old now.
I want to take my DVD to get Robert Picardo
to
sign it.
Yes, absolutely.
Even though it's in for like 2 minutes.
Still.
Yeah. You let her go buy Gremlins too.
Buy Gremlins
that you should
too.
Yeah,
that makes more sense.
You don't own that?
I own Gremlins 1.
Oh my god.
I can't find Gremlins 2 usually when I'm looking for it, so.
Oh really?
Yeah.
Didn't you find it for like $5 somewhere?
I found it for $3 in a DVD bin in Indiana on New Year's Eve. The most random, most beautiful purchase of my life. I'm like, thank you God, this is going to be a good year. Anyway, this week in theaters, what do we got? We got Street Fighter, The Legend of Chun-Li. With Neil McDonough and Michael Clark Duncan, I think.
Don't forget Chris Klein.
Chris Klein and Kristen Kreuk.
Chris Klein's in it?
Yeah.
What happened to that guy?
Apparently he's hilarious in this movie.
Intentionally, or?
I don't know. Massa Wurma Ain't It Cool. I talked to him with them a little bit over Twitter, and he said, it's better than The Marine.
Jeez.
Which means I have to see it. I'll probably wait till the cheap seats, but I will see it.
It's, wow. Wait, it just came out?
Yeah, it just came out this weekend. Chris Klein, he was in that Just Friends. That's the last thing I think he was in. Man, Chris Klein, whatever happened to that dude? The Jonas Brothers, the 3D concert experience.
A colossal flop.
Yeah.
Did it?
It made like, what was it, 17?
12.7 million.
Oh, thank you, Jesus.
Yeah. So
even Madea made more money.
Madea was number one again for the second week, which is a real surprise because most of his movies drop like a stone. So maybe this one's good. In limited release.
That's funny.
Who knows? Sorry. Crossing Over. Interesting cast. This is Harrison Ford, Ray Liotta, Ashley Judd. It used to have Sean Penn in it, but apparently Penn wanted his segment removed from the movie, so it's not in the film. Isn't that weird?
Okay.
Yeah, Marty was telling me about that.
So director's cut. Deleted scenes.
Well, apparently the Sean Penn cut. Apparently, Penn has enough pull to say, like, I don't want to be in your movie. So, yeah, his segment, because it's like Crash, you know, very much like Crash. It's about Border Patrol. And apparently, Penn's like, no, I don't want to be in the movie. So they pulled his segment out.
Wow.
Yeah. Anyway.
Okay, then.
Interesting.
Yes.
So DVDs.
Yeah, sorry, DVDs.
Sorry, March 3rd
I'm
this week.
A little bit here.
That's okay. This week in DVD in regular and Blu-ray, Baz Luhrmann's Australia. I like this movie.
and the look, Josh.
And no one else did. Beverly Hills Chihuahua, another favorite of Josh's.
Yay!
One that Dave and I were looking forward to. Kerry Russell is doing the voice of Wonder Woman 2009.
I've seen it. I'm buying the two-disc DVD on Tuesday.
It's that good.
I have to get it. Yeah, it's the best one by far.
Excellent.
Freaking awesome.
Best one. Shoot. Yeah. Excellent. One that sounded great until I saw the trailer for it, and I think you agree with me, Dave. Watchmen, the complete motion comic.
Everything I've heard has been it's good until he starts doing women's voices.
It's kind of like Watchmen for dummies. Like if you're too lazy to sit down and read the graphic novel, and you can't wait for the movie, but you want to be like an expert on Watchmen, this is what you do.
And you want to hear a man purr.
Really?
Yes.
Wait, so the guy is like the voice of Bubastis also?
He's like he doesn't like try to like go high pitched like a girl, but you know, he kind of softens the voice like you do if you're, you know, reading a book.
But it's just kind of like, not like good me Mike. Like talking like all deep voice for the girls.
I want my gun from over there. Yeah, nothing like that.
They didn't show that in the trailer. Man,
no.
That sounds terrible. And then finally, it's supposed to be really, really good. I've Loved You So Long, starring Kristen Scott Thomas. It's supposed to be an excellent film.
Cool.
That's it. Oh, no. Forgive me. I forgot.
I did find some more.
My Two Dads, season one, starring Paul Reiser. Yes! Smurfs, volume one.
We can buy copies to burn.
La, 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 la. Yeah. And then finally, our crap title of the week. Boys, this is a bad one. Bad movie. Good work, Dave. Ace Ventura Jr., starring that little monster from License to Wed and the Nancy Drew movie. I don't even know what this kid's name is.
That's who that is?
Remember that little punk who worked for Robin Williams? Yeah, he's Ace Ventura Jr.
Pet detective.
Yeah, I've seen the preview for it. It looks awful.
Where did you guys see this preview? I haven't even
seen
this.
It was on Slash Film when I saw it.
It was a few months ago, and it was, dude.
Man.
I refuse to link to it, because...
I refuse to watch it. Jeez, I can't believe you guys watched that.
I was like, I wonder how bad this could be. You know, because you're hoping for funny bad.
Yeah.
This was like excruciating bad.
This is like Dumb and Dumberer.
This makes that
worse than that.
Just shows it like you cannot make a sequel to a Jim Carrey movie without Jim Carrey. That's just all there is to it. Dumb and Dumberer.
No, but he's a kid.
No, it's
him
his
as
kid.
A kid.
No, I think it's his
prequel.
Kid.
Oh, it's his prequel. Kid?
It's his kid.
Oh,
who
well,
did
that's
he
even
make
worse.
With? Is it Courtney Cox's son from the first one?
No, because remember he had that sex with that African girl?
Oh,
in
the
second one? Is that
so
who?
So shouldn't the kid be half?
Yeah.
Let's leave it there.
Yeah.
Let's leave it there.
Because this kid's Italian. It's a fat little Italian kid.
Shouldn't he kind of be like an Oreo cookie?
Oh, dude. See, you went there.
We're thinking about this movie more than the filmmakers were, that's for sure.
You think?
I think they CG'd the script.
Speaking of not thinking about the script, have you guys read the abridged script for Twilight?
Mm-mm.
It's online?
Mm-mm. No.
Okay, you know how I've showed you guys the abridged script for
Indiana Jones
4?
Yeah, which is
same
great.
Thing, but Twilight.
Oh, great. Okay.
It is freaking hilarious.
Sweet.
They're like, it'll be like really weird plot inconsistencies, and it'll be like, you have to remember, this script was written in like 6 weeks. You know, and then like another one comes up, remember, 6 weeks. That's all. Yeah. Oh, it is hilarious. I might link to that.
I'd like to see.
You know what else comes out on Tuesday? U2's new album.
Hello.
So,
I think me and Josh have listened to it already, though.
Yeah, about 18 times.
Okay, and you're rocking the U2 shirt.
Yes,
is that in support? And
mm-hmm.
Okay.
I didn't plan it, but yes, it is.
Okay. It's just that embedded in your subconscious.
Yes.
Fair enough. All right.
So you're starting a club, Hackers for U2?
No, I'm still going to go buy the thing on Tuesday.
It's like me with Wonder Woman.
Yeah, it's kind of my fault because I got it and I was saying how I was like listening to it and Josh was like, tell me, where can I find this? And
you should have seen me freak out when I read your Twitter. I think I crap my pants, actually.
Yeah, I think I kind of turned Josh to the dark side.
Thanks for being
Sorry.
Such a good influence, Ethan.
Fair enough. All right, well, let's talk some news here.
Yes.
The big news of the week for me. It's got to be the fact that Michel Gondry is apparently going to be directing Green Hornet.
And what's his name is still in?
Stephen Chow.
Stephen Chow.
Yeah, as Kato. It's a left field decision, but I really, really like it.
How wild. We went from this thing falling completely apart to the picking like one of the best directors alive right now, and Stephen Chow is still in, and Seth Rogen's still in. I mean, this is like best case scenario, don't you think?
I'm really interested to see how this turns out.
Yeah.
And you, Josh, have no idea about the comic at all.
No. I, like, know about it, but I've never, like, read it or seen it.
Fair enough.
Was it not actually a comic? Wasn't it just, like, a TV show?
It was actually originally a radio play, a weekly radio serial that had a TV show and also had a comic book revival, I think, in the 90s.
Yeah, it's a lot like The Shadow. Has the same exact kind of trajectory. Of course, there was a Shadow movie. There's never been a Green Hornet movie.
And this has Kato.
And it has Kato.
Nah, let's replace Stephen Chow gently.
Wow. And they should just replace Seth Rogen because I'm sick of him.
So we swapped now? Because I actually want to see that, and I want to see Observe and Report.
No, I'm sick of him.
Okay.
I'm curious, because he's really buffed up and lost a lot of weight and trimmed down, slimmed down, and play the Green Hornet. And it looks like he's really going to try to do a serious action job. This is going to be, like they've been saying, this is going to be like Michael Keaton playing Batman.
Well, yeah, like I said before, I'm not ready for Seth Rogen to become a sex symbol.
Well, to some people he is. But
yeah, because we actually did. No. We watched Zach and Miri again. And
why?
I don't know. Sorry. He was so unattractive in that.
Well, it's Zach and Miri.
No, that's kind of the point.
Why'd you watch that again?
I don't know.
Oh, okay. There you go.
Okay. Yes.
You know what I saw the preview for, though, was I Love You, Beth Cooper.
Great. Does it
look
good?
Yeah, it looks really funny.
Fantastic. Good.
And Hayden looks like she's going to do a really good job. It looks like something that, like a different role for her.
Sweet.
So.
Good. It's one of my favorite books of all time. I hope they nailed it.
You can take a breathe a sigh of relief.
Yes. Sweet.
Okay. Cool. Ethan, I'll let you go next, because I know we've got a lot of the same stories, so we'll just be stumbling over each other.
Yeah. Eddie Murphy is apparently going to be playing Richard Pryor in a biopic.
I can't think of anybody better to do it. Not only did he work... Yep.
Sorry to interrupt, but I was just thinking of this the other day, but like when the movie covers the making of the movie Harlem Nights, who's going to play Eddie Murphy?
Chris Rock.
No, well, can't they have Eddie Murphy do multiple roles again?
Oh, God.
Oh, God.
Wait, was Richard Pryor's mom, like, fat? So he can play that role, too.
Oh, come on. I have hope in this project, because I've always wanted to see a movie about Pryor's life. I know for years Scorsese had wanted to do it, he never did. But, you know, Murphy is not only a wonderful mimic, but when he's given a chance to act, which let's
like
face
in Dreamgirls.
Like in Dreamgirls, or even Bowfinger. Yeah. He can act. He hasn't been asked to act in a movie for 10 years, so he hasn't acted in 10 years. But I would love to see. I was just talking to somebody about this the other day. Like, what would happen if Vampire in Brooklyn were actually a great movie and a box office hit? Would that have changed his whole career? Would he have actually taken character roles?
Kind of the same question, what would have happened if Jersey Girl had taken off?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So anyway, I'm hoping for good things.
Okay.
But I could be wrong. This could be a disaster, but we'll see.
Well, I'll go into something that apparently has already been debunked, but still, at some point, effing Anton Yelchin was in talks to, or being considered to play Hal Jordan in the Green Lantern movie. Because, you know, when you have a veteran fighter test pilot, you want someone who looks like they're 12 years old playing him.
You want the little kid from Alpha Dog.
Well, you know who else was offered was Speed Racer.
Yeah. Yeah, Emile Hirsch and Ryan Gosling, and they're going too young. That's all I got to say. But what were you saying about this, Ethan?
Apparently it's been debunked. Yelchin, I think he was being interviewed at like WonderCon, and he said, no, I have no knowledge of this. So yeah, it's not happening.
I hope so. I hope that they go with three choices. John Hamm, Nathan Fillion, who's actually my pick, or Ben Browder from Farscape and Stargate. I think any of those three could do good.
Who's playing Ace Ventura Jr. again?
Oh! Oh, you're lucky you're out of reach right now.
I don't know that little kid's name, and I don't want him.
Yeah, yeah. All right, Ethan.
Okay, Michael Cera has agreed to do the Arrested Development movie, which is awesome. It seemed like he was really the only thing keeping it from going ahead, so it looks like it's going to happen now.
You think they can make a whole movie off of that show?
Yeah, well, there's so many like running jokes in the show.
Yeah, if you haven't seen the show, is it going to be funny?
Well, yeah, but it's like it's such a richly layered show that I'm sure it'll make a richly layered movie.
Oh, okay.
And has anyone else seen it?
Yes, I'm a big fan. I've watched every episode. I love it. You know what? If they can make Sex and the City a new movie, they certainly should do this, especially if they got all the original creative factors. And they got to have Ron Howard do the narration, too. But that show is brilliant. I'd love to see them give it a shot. I mean, do you know Ethan? I mean, really, has it been Michael Cera all this time keeping them apart? I mean, he's like the Kim Cattrall in this case?
Yeah, because apparently the whole cast said yes, and they had a script, apparently. But he was kind of like, he was being all apprehensive about it, but he finally said yes, and they're like, woo, it's going to happen. So,
wow.
I remember seeing the picture about him being Thor.
Sorry. Wait, so Josh and Dave, you guys haven't seen it?
I've watched parts of it. Yeah,
yeah, and I've seen a couple episodes.
It's a good show.
You guys are the reason it got canceled.
What?
I actually thought it was Fox was the reason it got canceled.
Yeah, it was a good show on Fox. So that means Dollhouse is going to run for 15 years. Oh,
facial.
I have not been a big fan of that show yet. Yeah, sorry. Yeah, that's more Fox being Fox. Let's hit the remake news. For some reason, we're getting a Neverending Story remake.
I actually think that's cool.
As long as they use the same theme song.
Never-ending story.
Have you guys seen the Robot Chicken where it's the Never-Ending Party? And it's like all the characters from the movie like doing cocaine and stuff. It's the funniest thing.
No, I've not seen it. It's called the Never-Ending Party.
Never-Ending Party.
Sweet.
YouTube, here we go.
No kidding. Wow.
But apparently those who have read the book have said the original movie did not stick to the book very much. So they're hoping that, part of the reason of doing a remake is to actually get more plot points from the book into the movie.
And to make more money, of course.
Well, of course. Yeah, you think?
Say my name, Sebastian.
Oh, wow.
I love Andy those Dick movies when role. I was a kid, but I'm scared to even revisit them. So.
Yeah, if Andy Dick played like the princess, that would be awesome.
Andy Dick should play everything, even the turtle. That's like,
Wait, what was the name of the dragon again that the guy wrote on?
Falcor.
Yeah, and Atreyu was the kid.
Atreyu, and that wolf scared the crap out of me.
Oh, yeah, it's terrifying.
Yeah.
It's kind of a violent PG movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then when the stupid unicorn died. The horse. I'm sorry, the horse.
Oh, the luck dragon?
No. His horse.
The unicorn. Oh, yes, yeah. I remember that. That's right.
He's riding the horse.
Yeah, when Atreyu's horse dies.
Is there a scary scene with like the statue that like if you look at it, it melts your face?
Right, it like blasts you. Yeah, that's a great scene.
Oh, bring back so many memories.
Oh, I gotta watch that again.
Remember how the last scene at the end, it's so corny where he flies the luck dragon and he one-ups the bullies? Remember that? And they all jump into the dumpster.
And his face is like, oh. Yeah, that movie's, oh, we gotta
actually,
play that.
No. Arnold needs to do Falcor.
Get on my back! Yeah, that'd be awesome.
I think I'd actually like pay money to see that now. All right, that there it is. Schwarzenegger's entry into voice work. Okay.
We should report that on the site.
As our next fake.
Because we want to be known for reporting only the fake news.
We want to become known as the Onion of Podcasting.
That's right.
Yeah. All right, Ethan.
Total Recall is going to get a remake.
No! Wow, I didn't even... That was a subconscious Arnie segue, really. I promise.
Get to Oscar Mayer's, yeah.
One of my favorite movies. Dang it.
Yeah, mine too. That was like my favorite movie when I was like 6 years old.
It's still great, too. I mean, looking at it recently, it's fantastic.
Do you think this is a movie that could benefit from better...
No,
I'm just asking.
Wait, no, I'm sorry.
I guess the three-boob chicken now have four boobs.
And they're all CGI. Yeah.
With the magic of technology.
They can't top what Verhoeven did. His movie is gritty. It is a balls-to-the-wall action movie. The special effects are fantastic. It's one of the best Schwarzenegger vehicles. They can't top this.
Unless. Yeah, I don't know. Well, at least it's got the producer of Torque and Stealth behind it. So.
Oh, gosh.
Dude.
Well, who would be, like, Clive Owen in Total Recall?
Dwayne Johnson in Total Recall?
Dwayne Johnson.
Vin Diesel?
Well, you have Babylon AD. Because, Total Recall.
John Cena.
Maybe that would work.
I definitely see it then.
Well, like this was a problem project. They had a lot of different guys going to do it. Like one point, Cronenberg was going to direct it. Another point, Patrick Swayze was going to star. Richard Dreyfuss was going to star. Jeff Bridges. I mean, a lot of people were going to play Quaid at one point.
I've actually never seen it.
Total Recall?
What?
You love it, man. It's Paul Verhoeven. It's even more
disgusting.
You did
Starship Troopers, right?
Yeah, it's more disgusting than Starship Troopers. It's more violent. Yeah, it's awesome.
Okay. He's like, I'm renting it on the way home.
I am there.
There are like splattered brains and body parts everywhere. It's awesome.
It's got Tuatu.
Yeah.
And then the aforementioned third boob.
Yeah, oh, don't forget that. Yeah, yeah, of course. Yeah. No, the Total Recall is awesome. I think you'd really like it.
Shallow, cheap, and based solely on hormones. Works for me!
Sorry, it was there. I had to take
it. Fits.
With all the boob talk this episode. Good night. Moving on next. I will go to Disney at WonderCon, because it's going on this weekend. They did a panel about The Princess and the Frog, and apparently Disney is committed to doing hand-drawn animation again.
Good.
Making it as hand-drawn as possible, including not doing digital backgrounds. essentially all the crap that got them hated in the first place for all the direct-to-DVD crappy sequels and all that stuff. So essentially, John Lasseter has put down the edict that he wants to have a hand-drawn animated film, traditional 2D animated film, every 2 years.
Man.
Which is kind of cool.
It's great. It's just backpedaling. You know, they did that, then they got rid of all that.
Well, that's because the people who were running Disney at the time were morons.
I agree.
So, yeah, I'm glad to see him firmly getting back to the roots.
Did you guys read that article about how Pixar doesn't have any, like, strong feminine characters?
I glanced over it.
I don't agree with that.
No, I thought Barbie was a very strong character. Oh, it was a Little Bo Peep. I'm
Little
sorry.
Bo Peep.
Little Bo Peep. Well, let's think about this for a second. Dory. Dory was a good character.
Yeah, Eve.
Eve, absolutely. Yeah,
she's
yeah.
like the strongest character you've seen in a long time.
Probably.
Well, I mean, if you're gonna you know gloss over that way, okay. But you know, the
article was basically saying only like love interests and like people that drive the male main characters forward in their quest, and they're not like strong feminine characters.
Well, I mean, there's nothing on the level of like Ellen Ripley, but you know, I'm sure they'll get there.
Get yeah. away from her, you! No. I'd love to see that in a Pixar movie. I'll be really honest. Wow.
I don't know. I just don't agree with that. But whatever.
I mean, any well-written character is going to move the story along, so it's kind of not fair to say.
It's almost sexist to say there have been no characters that like led the men to their victory. I mean, I don't think there's been either or. I think these stories have a fairy tale like appeal, and I don't think I've never felt there was ever sexism or racism in a Pixar film.
Yeah.
No, I think they managed to avoid that. Disney, no, not in their heyday. If you look at their heyday
Song
movies,
of the South.
Exactly. But I don't think
we're going to revisit that this year. I think
we should.
Yeah,
we should. Yeah, yeah. This Scorsese class, the first time I haven't shown it in a film class in the 4 years I've been over there.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. So. All right, Ethan, back to you, sir.
Sam Jackson is signed on to play Nick Fury in 9 Marvel movies.
9 times.
I'm trying to figure out where the 9... It's Ferris Bueller. Sorry. Missed class 9 times. 9 well, times. It's when you said it that way.
2 Iron Man movies, right?
2 Iron Man, 3 and Avengers.
You got Iron Man 2, you got the Avengers, you got Thor, Captain America, possibly a Nick Fury movie. But that's still 4 more, movies left.
Yeah.
Well,
more sequels to Thor and
the Hulk. I don't know. It seems
Spider-Man.
Like...
They're doing another Spider-Man.
Nick Fury 2, Nick Fury 3.
Maybe look at Hasselhoff.
Ant-Man 4.
Nick Fury in a plane.
Fighting Cobra in a plane.
Ah.
There you go. Get a little crossover with G.I. Joe.
Yeah.
It's all good.
With Black Dynamite. Ah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That just hurt. All over the place. I'm out of news, sir, so it's all you.
Okay. Jake Gyllenhaal and Jim Carrey are going to star in a Damn Yankees remake.
This is interesting. Because I've seen... has anybody else seen Damn Yankees?
Nope.
No? Ethan?
No.
Okay, well, it's a great musical. It's really funny. I just don't know what the heck parts they'd be playing. And
well, I think Gyllenhaal's playing the main guy, who's a baseball player, and Jim Carrey's playing the devil, I believe.
Okay. Huh.
What?
Why don't you give a quick overview of what the story is of Damn Yankees?
Basically, if I remember correctly, it's been a few years, but it's about a guy who loves the Yankees, and he starts off the musical singing, "Damn those Yankees," because they're having such a bad season. So basically, he sells his soul to the devil so they'll have a good season. And at one point, there's a character named Lola who shows up, and there's this real sleazy number called "Whatever Lola Wants, Lola Gets." I just want to know who's playing Lola. Yeah, so, you know, it'll be interesting to A, see them pull it off, and B, of course, is the question of can they sing? So,
didn't Jim Carrey sing in something?
The Cable Guy.
Yeah. I've heard him sing "I Am the Walrus."
When?
I just saw it on YouTube. I was like, typed in "I'm the Walrus," and the first link was like Jim Carrey singing it. So I was like, cool.
Wow. Huh.
That's interesting.
Yeah. Well, you know, it sounds like a cool project. You know, for me, it was like when they announced John Travolta and Hairspray, but you never know.
This is true. All right. What else you got, sir?
There's a rumor right now about how McG wants Terminator Salvation to be R, but the studio is pressuring him to make it PG-13.
And isn't this a lot of reference, a lot of inferences drawn from the fact that the studio wants him to cut a topless scene with Moon Bloodgood and he wants to keep it in?
Yes. Yeah. Fight. Well, fight McG.
Well, part of the thing here, though, is this is not going to be rated R. Like, there's already a toy line for this coming out.
Well, there, I think to be fair, there were toys for Terminator 2.
Yeah, there were, yeah.
I had them.
Yeah, but that was 1991. That was, like, a different time.
Yeah, we didn't have any taste back then. Yeah, you're right. You're...
No, we weren't so concerned about, you know, hurting our children. So.
You want to play with my Showgirls toys? Yeah.
Moon Bloodgood had a topless scene in What Just Happened with Robert De Niro. All I have to say is, fight on, McG. Don't let them give in.
All right, then. So, essentially, this, since they want to cut that, the everyone's inferring that they want a PG-13 cut, because why else would you want to cut a scene like that?
McSleaze. Yeah.
So, like, the rest of the movie, though, is PG-13 worthy?
I don't know.
That's a little troubling.
Was Rise of the Machines PG-13?
No, that was R.
Oh, it was?
That was R, yeah.
Oh, well, then what the hell are they thinking?
Think back. I know, it's exactly. A very violent movie. I mean, seriously, like, well, if you remember the opening scene where she walks to the party and just guns everybody down, that's a violent movie.
Well, most of this is going to be, like, human on robot action, though, right? So it's like...
Human on robot action. I had to think about that.
First, like, bouncing a bow bow sound.
I didn't mean it that way, but I could be. It's going to be like robot endoskeletons blowing up. Not
it's
really
gonna be like
aliens.
Oh,
right?
Gotcha.
It's just instead of aliens, it's going to be robots. Hmm. Okay. Yeah. So I. Well, there's going to be plenty of brutality because with how big those robots are, I'm guessing they're going to be killing them some humans.
Well, take it, like, I guess think also of how violent Transformers was. Like, probably, think of how many humans that, like, Megatron kill.
Yeah, but he just, like, brushed them away.
Well, yeah, but, yeah, they could just make it a quick thing of like, a robot flicking a human away or something. Or you know, a CGI person getting stepped on with no blood, right? Like, that'd be a PG-13, right?
Yeah, but all the Terminators have guns and crap.
Now, granted, we did. Now that we are talking, you know, we're a year or two out from getting a PG-13 Die Hard movie, too.
Mm, yeah. It's funny, too, because then you get Watchmen, which, you know, we haven't seen yet, but I mean, that movie is R, but it's like harder than hard R.
I've had parents asking me if they should take their kids to this.
Oh, my gosh.
Wow. Or no, they're like, we want to go see it, and I know they have kids. And I'll be like, you should go see it. Don't take the kids.
Yeah. I think my parents
are
going to take Harvey.
Dave, the thing is, you can describe how there'll be, like, rape and murder, and they'll be like, okay, but then when you say there's a big naked blue guy's schlong, they'll be like, never, never are we taking our kids to see this.
It's funny that that's like...
That's the breaking point.
That's right. Naked huge blue schlong, no way. Everything else, that's okay. But I draw the line with the blue.
With the blue serpent.
Okay. Have you got anything else, Ethan?
No, that's pretty much it.
All right, you know, that's probably enough. So,
well, I was finding the best time to end these segments.
No kidding! Wow, that was a doozy of an ender, sir. Well played. All right, we're gonna take a quick break, and we have no topic this week, so I guess we're just gonna jump straight into what's coming out next week. But that's okay. We're taking our sweet time on this episode, so we'll be right back.
In a world where knowledge is power. In an age where time is the most valuable commodity. In a voice that's killing my throat. Comes a podcast that will bring you wisdom in less than 1 minute a day. So join me, Martin Darkley, as we journey to enlightenment. Our teachers, classic lines from cinema history. Come then to moviemantras.com and begin a voyage to a higher state.
So since we don't actually have a topic this week, which is probably good since we're coming up on 45 minutes, wow, we talked plenty about the news this week. I kind of like that. I guess we will move into what's hitting theaters this week.
Well, it's pretty much the one, the only, Zack Snyder's Watchmen.
And then a whole bunch of stuff in limited release.
Yes. Among them, Tokyo, the anthology film about Japan, one of which has a segment directed by Michel Gondry.
And this is kind of like Paris Chatham.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And I can't find it on Box Office Mojo, but I'm hoping that it's coming out because I want to see it because it's Gondry. Dang it, I have to see it.
Yeah, this was at the Denver Film Fest. I didn't get the chance to see it. And,
it was?
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't get to see it either. I mean, yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, what is hitting DVD? This is a pretty good week for DVD, too.
This is one of the best DVD weeks ever. Okay, for starters, you got Milk, the Oscar-winning Milk.
Just Ethan.
Transporter 3. Pinocchio, the two-disc 70th anniversary special edition, which is available like in every single DVD format there is. One of the best movies ever made, Let the Right One In. Yay!
That's yay. Yeah, next week, yeah.
Let the Right One In. Anne Hathaway and Rachel Getting Married. this has been on your DVD wish list since the beginning of time. Howard the Duck, the special edition.
It's a two-disc, I believe.
Special edition with all sorts of extras.
They actually already have a review of it up over at DVDtalk.com. They actually have the screenshot with the duck boobs.
Perfect.
And I'm like, I don't know. I'm scrolling through the review. What the?
I don't know if I want to own that movie, though. But
I just want to see all the extras because I've seen it so many times. Role Models. Yay, fun movie. Yeah. Synecdoche, New York, one of my favorites of last year. Michael Lee's Happy-Go-Lucky. South Park, the 12th season.
On DVD and Blu-ray.
The Beyoncé movie Nobody Saw, Cadillac Records. The special, with good reason.
Let's go back to that. Remember, did you see the Golden Globe stuff at all, like the red carpet? Like they're all excited because they were up for like best song and everyone's like, why did you even show up?
Cadillac Records. Although it does have Most Def in it. Most Def as Chuck Berry.
Okay, that'd be kind of cool.
This is kind of interesting. The special edition of Escape to Witch Mountain and Return from Witch Mountain. Wonder why that's coming out. The first four Batman movies are being re-released.
Yeah, essentially the Batman anthology. No, I don't know if it's on Blu-ray 2 or not, but the DVD edition was out and it was discontinued like 6 months later for the past like 2 or 3 years.
Mm.
And now suddenly they're re-releasing it. Like that box set was going for like $100 or $200 for a while.
Wow.
So now you'll be able to get it for $50 again.
Sweet.
So it's all four movies in the two disc editions.
Okay. Max Fleischer's Gulliver's Travels.
So whenever you hear me say Sullivan's Travels, this is the one you're thinking of.
This is with the little people in Lilliput. Yeah, this is good stuff. And then one of the best films Richard Gere ever did, and certainly Edward Norton's film debut, and what a great film debut it was, and Primal Fear, the special edition. Yeah. Yeah, terrific movie.
Yes.
The movie's awesome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, one of the great twist endings, definitely.
Sorry, I'm laughing for an entirely different reason.
Oh, I know why.
Why?
Is it about Richard Gere?
No.
Oh.
It's because of who was offered the part before Edward Norton. A certain one young Mr. Wheaton.
Oh.
He said, Yeah, he said, all of you may know this as the movie that started Edward Norton's career. I like to think of the colossal opportunity that I completely... up.
Wow.
So,
no kidding.
Yeah. Yeah. He's like, I was a complete moron. But yeah.
Oh, he auditioned for it or just turned it down?
Yeah, he was like he turned the part down apparently. So.
Oh, man.
So yeah, interesting stuff.
That would have been a very different film.
I mean, I'm glad to see Edward Norton in it, don't get me wrong, but just an interesting bit of trivia.
Would have been a very different world if Wheaton got the part and it worked. Yeah.
Ethan, are you, Wheaton is in Fight Club, that would have been weird. Are you going to the, are you going to Midnight of Watchmen?
No, because I have to get up the next day.
Oh.
You don't want to get home at 4 in the morning?
Are you going, Josh?
I think I am. I don't have to work till 2 or 3:30.
Well, you might be seeing it earlier.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. If I can get that to work out.
Okay.
But we'll see.
I guess you use your connections at Starland.
Yeah, I might. I should be like, hey, you want to hook me up?
Seriously.
Yeah, I'd love to get in that.
Yeah, I'm even skipping the opening night. I'm seeing it at a matinee on the 7th, on the Saturday, just because I think it's better to absorb in all the detail
You don't want to be there with the drooling, raving fanboys?
Every time Manhattan's a blue schlong.
Wow, and there it is.
They're like, right. Malin Ackerman, yay! Manhattan, boo!
With the peppering of yays. Leaving it alone. All right. Well, you know, we kind of ran this one a bit long, which is good, you know, without a topic. But we'll get back to a topic next week. If you want to email us, by all means do. Shoot us an email at podcastjoshethanbarryordave@screengeeks.com. And we'll get voicemail up and running here at some point again, theoretically. But until next week, This is Dave.
This is Barry.
Josh.
Anything.
Take it easy.
You don't really believe in that stuff about Sinbad getting another TV show, do you, Buzz?
Nah. The broadcasting industry has all sorts of safeguards to prevent that sort of thing.